प्रार्थिता विष्णु
भक्तिश्चैन्नव
लक्षणा भगवत्यद्धा तन्मन्ये हितमुत्तमम्.
Yesterday we discussed shravanam, hearing, and today kirtanam, chanting. The one who has actually heard about Krishna, then speaking about Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, glorifying Krishna, comes automatically. Naturally, if you hear something wonderful, you want to repeat it, just like if there's something in the news. Did you hear in the news? Did you hear? So many times. How many times has it happened to you in your life? I remember walking into the temple in Kolkata. Did you hear? Ronald Reagan got shot. One time. Another time, I remember Prabhishna Swami was reading the newspaper. Oh, look, John Lennon got shot there. So, if you hear something that you find interesting, you want to tell others. So, what is more interesting, wonderful, glorious, inspiring than Krishna? Nothing. Everything in relationship to Krishna is insignificant as a clod of earth. Krishna is significant, and everything seen without a relationship with Krishna is simply maya. Krishna says that anything conceived of without a relationship with me is meaningless. So Krishna is wonderful, and one who has heard about Krishna naturally wants to glorify Krishna. Kirtan means glorification, kirti. You know this word, kirti. Krishna kirti is there in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna kirti das. So kirti means fame or glory. And kirtan means to glorify. So glorification comes by chanting the names and by Ram, Gun, Rup, Leela, the names, the forms, the qualities, the pastimes, philosophy, the teachings. Repeating this, that is called kirtan. Generally, kirtan is understood. In normal usage, kirtan is understood to mean chanting. And that also is divided into jap, when one chants for more or less for his own benefit, and kirtan, which means singing. And specifically, sankirtan means when many people come together to chant, that is called sankirtan. But actually, this is all within the category of kirtan. So chanting the names and chanting the qualities. In these nine verses of devotional service, they are analyzed in Bhakti Samrit Sindhu. And one devotee is given as an example of each process. And Ambarish Maharaj is given as an example of one who performed all nine processes. Specifically, Parikshit Maharaj, he is famous for hearing, and then for kirtan, for chanting, is famous Shukadeva Goswami. He wasn't singing exactly, but he was reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is full of the glories of Krishna. So in this kirtan section, Shukadeva Goswami is famous. And of course, in Indian history, there are many famous preachers of Krishna consciousness. And there are many famous kirtaniyas, singers. They were famous mostly for singing, for composing songs, for singing where you were there in Karnataka, the Haridasis of the Madhva Sampradaya. They're famous. They were simple, means that they weren't reciting in Sanskrit, but in the local language, they sang so many songs. Then also in Maharashtra, based out of Pandharapur, there are many famous devotees who are famous for singing, for Krishna, the simple devotees who sung in their ecstasy the glories of Krishna. So anyway, one way or the other, we should glorify Krishna. And that comes naturally to a devotee. It comes naturally, easy. For a pure devotee, glorifying Krishna is as natural as breathing. Just like we see Srila Prabhupada, who's always speaking about Krishna. It's natural for Prabhupada to speak, he liked to speak about Krishna, talk about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. He'd always be discussing with the devotees different times of the day and night, some different points of the philosophy, so many different things. Those morning walks are the things. Devotees used to ask Prabhupada so many different things. Prabhupada would respond. So this is the symptom of an advanced devotee. Namagane sadaruchita, nine symptoms of a devotee who has achieved this stage of ecstatic love. And one of them is that he has taste for chanting the names of Krishna, he likes to do it. It's not that someone has to come up to him and say, yeah, Prabhu, are you chanting your rounds? But naturally, he has a taste. There's no question of him not chanting. He's always chanting, he enjoys to chant. So that is the function of it, the main function of devotee. What is the symptom of devotee? Is glorifying Krishna. Always engage in the service of Krishna, particularly by glorifying Krishna, particularly in this age. That's fine.
Sometimes jumping from
He's protesting. There are so many examples given of God. Dr. Prabhu is one, school Mandukana. And there's Manduka Gati Nyai. That's another book I mean. Come on. How does a frog move? Doesn't jumps here. No, so someone who can't speak, someone whose argument doesn't go clearly or logically, it's called Manduka Gati Nyai. It means moves like a frog. There's also both senses where you get an example of the exploding frog. That he became so puffed up. No, I'm so great, I'm so good. So that's another sin. A devotee, he sees everything, sees related with Krishna. We see that also. In the Bhagavatam, there is the description of one Avadhut Dattatreya, actually. He said, I have so many gurus, whatever I see, I take some lesson from. So one who is intelligent, whatever he sees, he takes some lesson from and relates it to Krishna. And you see, Prabhupada, you see this, that, and you say, oh, just give some philosophical point. Anyway, this is the point. The devotee, especially in this Kali Yoga, is engaged in glorifying Krishna. Because in this Kali Yoga, Sankirtan Yajna, Yajanti hi sumedasa, yagaya sankirtana prayag yajanti hi sumedasa. Those who are intelligent in this Kali Yuga, they glorify Krishna by sankirtan. And that result, which could not be obtained in previous ages, even with great difficulty, vidaya yagayato vishnum tritayo yajato yagaya. Dvapare parachaya yam kalot yagaya kirtana. We should learn all these verses for preaching in India. Because people will ask you, well, what do you think about meditation? And you tell them, actually that was meant for Satya Yoga. Kriteya Dhyayato Vishnu. And what was that meditation? Dhyayato Vishnu. Meditation on Vishnu. So anyway, the meditation has to be on Vishnu. And that was meant for Satya Yoga. And people lived for 100,000 years. Tretayam Yajato Mukhai. And then, what do you think about this? They're making sacrifices. That was meant for Tretayam Yajato Mukhai. Dvapare Parichayayam in Dvapara Yoga by temple worship, kalotat hari kirtana, whatever result could be obtained in previous ages by all these processes, that and more, even more can be obtained in Kali Yuga by Krishna kirtan. Even more means, again, the next verse comes in Bhagavatam, that kale dosha nidhe rajan asti eko mahan guna kirtanat eva krishna mukta sanga param vijay, that by worshipping Krishna in Kali Yuga by Sankirtan, that result, first he's saying, Shukadeva is saying, that this Kali Yuga is an ocean of bad faults. But there is one good quality which is so good that makes Kali Yuga, what is that verse? Kalo sabhajyantyesha. That even great sages, they worship Kali Yuga because Kali Yuga is so good, despite all its bad qualities. Because just by chanting Hare Krishna, you can get free from material attachment and go back to Godhead, which in other ages is very difficult to do. You see, Dhruv Maharaj, how did he go back to Godhead? By such severe austerities that he made the whole universe choke up. First of all, he was just taking some leaves every 3 days or every 10 days, and leaves and water, then only leaves, then he would eat some leaves every 20 days. Then he would breathe every 20 days, then he stopped breathing altogether, and the whole universe broke up. As the power, by the power of his austerity, in devotional service, meditation on Vishnu with severe determination, he was able to go back to God. But we can't do that. We can't stop breathing, we can't stop eating. We don't have the physical or mental strength to do it. We don't have the determination. But the same result and more you can very easily get. Even with Kriteya Dhyayatam Vishnu, by meditation in Vishnu, it's very difficult to get into Vishnu. By performing sacrifices, generally people that perform sacrifices for some material result go to heaven. And also we worship Vishnu. Vishnu is there. Yageshwar. In every sacrifice, Vishnu is there. So they are, okay, Vishnu is there, okay. Let me go to heaven. There's mainly doing for some material benefit. So, to get free from material contamination is not very easy, but by chanting Hare Krishna, you can easily do it. By chanting Hare Krishna, you can not only get liberation, you can go back to Godhead. So such a wonderful thing in this Kali Yuga. Therefore, kirtan is required, kirtan about kirtan. We should preach about kirtan. What are we preaching? We're preaching to everyone. Chant Hare Krishna. And be happy. And be happy means you can't be happy unless you surrender to Krishna. So chant Hare Krishna means be happy means chant Hare Krishna and surrender to Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy doesn't mean chant Hare Krishna and go to a disco. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy means seva sukh. We surrender to Krishna, surrender to Krishna. So that really is our job. Kirtan about kirtan and kirtan about the whole gamut of teachings. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told, Jare Dekho Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh. So Prabhupada is explaining this. Wherever you go, wherever you meet, instruct the teachings of Krishna. So Prabhupada is saying, I was just reading one Prabhupada, in the fourth canto, Prabhupada said, basically, what Chaitanya means by this is to preach Bhagavad Gita as it is. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to teach Krishna Upadesh, he meant to teach Bhagavad Gita as it is. So, here in India, we're teaching chant Hare Krishna. And we'll find many people who say, oh, Hare Krishna. And then they'll go to see some Bappa or some Bappa or some demigod. So, along with chanting, you have to introduce the philosophy. And this you realize already. That in other countries, even to get people to chant Hare Krishna, you might have to, what you have to do, I don't know, you have to give them prasad 5,000 times and preach to them 9,000 times. And then maybe you can, I don't know in your country, but certainly where I come from, people there, a lot of people, they're very hard and tough. They don't want to do anything. It's very, very difficult to get them to take any interest. Very, very difficult. So even if you can, if you you can get someone to say Hare Krishna, that's good. Wow, he said Hare Krishna. Wow, that's great. That saved him from animal birth. That's a fact. So here in India, people say Hare Krishna very easily. But then they'll say Om Namo Shivaya and so many other things. Om Namo, Me Aya, all glories to me. So really, along with the chanting, you have to introduce the philosophy. By books, by speaking, everything is important. You have to make these teachings, let people know what are we doing, what are we saying. People all over the world, in India and outside India, both, they don't really understand what is this Krishna conscious movement. Most, very few people, even many of our own devotees that I've noticed, they don't really understand what deep, important philosophy we have. They don't realize that this philosophy is the solution to all the problems of the world, individually, socially, economically, ecologically, any way you think. If people become Krishna conscious, all the problems of the world are solved. It's like Prabhupada was telling one of his disciples once, you should write a book, How Krishna Consciousness Solves All the Problems of the World. So for some days, he was asking Prabhupada, what about this problem, what about that problem? Prabhupada just gave a very simple answer. It's like he said, well, nowadays there's a petrol problem. Because they were pretending there was a shortage of oil to put the prices up. And they restricted the supply of oil. So because at one time the Arab countries were giving oil very cheaply. And then they thought, hey, wait a minute, why are we giving it so cheaply? So they pretended there was an oil shortage. And they stopped supplying oil for some time. And then the price of oil went up so much. This is about 1973. So then the story says, well, Prabhupada, what about the oil shortage? And Prabhupada said, that's very easily solved. Because they're writing big, big articles in the newspaper, what to do, experts, oil shortage, what to do, this, that, so on. Prabhupada says, very simple, how to solve the oil shortage. You simply live in the village and chant Hare Krishna. You don't need oil. You know, this oil, they're going in their cars and their buses and their trucks and their planes. You don't need. You sit in your village and you chant Hare Krishna and you have a cow and some land and there's a village blacksmith and you make your cloth at home and everything's there in the village. And they don't need oil and there's no oil shortage. Finish. Problem solved. So I see this insane civilization, all these trucks, day and night. All night they're running all these trucks. And you see, just like when I was in Poland this year, I saw some truck from Slovenia. Why are they driving all the way from Slovenia to Poland? What is there in Slovenia that there's not in Poland? Maybe there's some fruits which have come 1 month earlier. So they drive them all the way and sell it for a high price, and then they bring something from Poland, some potatoes or some vodka or something, bring back to Slovenia. And they drive how far? 1,000 kilometers or something. Just to bring something from one place to another. It's insane. Mad civilization. And you see, in the West you'll see something. What was that I saw just now Rasu Ghosh Prabhu bought some part for his computer. So it was parts made in Japan, assembled in Mexico, sold in Hong Kong. That means the first thing in Japan, there's no raw material, so they have to import the raw materials. Then they make it into something, send it to Mexico, assemble it, send it back to Hong Kong, and then people come from all over the world and buy it and fly to America. Insane, absolutely crazy civilization. So all the problems can be solved by Krishna consciousness. This needs preaching. People don't know what important work we have. They think, oh, Hare Krishna, Okay, it's all right. We'll be liberal. We'll say, yes, Hare Krishna is okay. That's all right. We'll be very good. Hare Krishna is okay. Rajneesh is okay. I'm okay. You're okay. Everything's okay. Just don't tell me I'm not okay. Just is there like this. There's one book written. I'm okay. You're okay. Then, just like the Beatles made this song, let it be. Everything. Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be. Everything's all right. Everything's nice. Feeling everything's good. So, of course, Prabhupada, when he was told about that, he said, no. Not I'm okay, you're okay. I'm okay, you're not okay. That is our hope. We're teaching this. We're okay because we're turning Hare Krishna. You're not. Because you're not. So, actually, this preaching means to give people an idea of Krishna consciousness. It's a powerful philosophy. The people, they have one disease, which is called gross ignorance. Maya mukta jiva nahi Krishna shakya. Jirere kripa kaulo Krishna bhaktaram. People are in the grossest darkness of ignorance. They don't know Krishna. All their problems can be solved if they simply accept Krishna. But they don't even want to recognize they have a problem. There's so much in ignorance, they don't want to recognize they have a problem. If you say, well, you're going to have to die. They'll say, I'm happy. Well, you're going to have to die. Okay, that's natural. And you don't want it. Yeah, but it's natural. But they don't think there's any way to stop it. Nor do they even want to hear about it. Or even if they recognize they're unhappy, they don't want to take them, they won't accept that there's no such thing as material happiness. They think, I'll adjust my situation, I'll become happy. They don't think that, they don't want to accept, even if they are miserable and they know it, they don't want to accept that the cause of their misery is because they're not surrendered to Krishna. They think, well, I'm just unlucky, and if I got some more money, or if I got a new girlfriend, or something like that. They still, even in their grossest misery, they're still thinking, I can be happy in this material world. Or if they're not happy, and they accept that, then even then they don't want to take to Krishna consciousness. They'll prefer to be unhappy. It's called wallowing in them. In English there's a saying, wallowing in their misery. Wallowing means like a pig who lies in the stool. So someone wallowing in his misery. He enjoys being miserable. Or they'll shoot themselves, commit suicide, rather than surrender to Krishna. So people are so much in ignorance, they don't even recognize that they have a problem. And even if they do have a problem, even then, if they're miserable like anything, still they won't want to accept that they should simply become Krishna conscious. Therefore, Krishna very kindly compiled the Vedic literature. Krishna's kindness manifests in so many different forms. Manifests in Krishna himself comes and tells us, you surrender to me, Name Kam Sharanam Vraja. He sends his devotees, his books, his incarnation of Vyasadeva makes these books. And then great acharyas, they give commentaries. That's why one reason why Acharya is there, and Vyasa Puja, because they are representatives of Vyasa. They explain the Vedic literature. So in so many ways, Krishna is giving facilities. His holy name is no different from him. The holy dhams are giving facilities, especially this knowledge, this philosophy, so people can understand what is the real situation. This is so much important preaching. Every time we read Prabhupada's books, isn't it, for book distributors, what is the greatest inspiration for book distributors? For me, it's always reading Prabhupada's books, because I think, oh, these people, they should read these books. Especially you meet some foolish rascal, which you do every day when you go out and say, and they say something nonsense. And probably everyone says something nonsense, some more than others. So when you think, well, I wish he'd read that. He should read this, isn't it? Well, he should read this. Well, take this book. Take it. Read it. especially some books are famous. Just like this Bhagavatam, if people take, if anyone is patient enough to take that up, guaranteed their life is going to change. Bhagavad Gita, if anyone is patient enough to read it from beginning to end. Now people may not be so much patient. Science of Self-Realization, very good book for changing people's lives. And I think in most countries of the world, we find that people become devotees more by reading Science of Self-Realization. And also in England, they say Coming Back is a very good book for awakening people's interest. Because actually, the points are put very clearly, straightforwardly. But any book, you give any book. You know. Once even in London, someone asked me, do you have something about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? This was in 1978, must have been. No, 76. Someone asked me, do you have any book about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So I did, actually. I had Madhya Leela Volume 1. There were some big books. So I started to read, because inside the book it says, Sri Chaitanya was recognized as a great scholar, philosopher. I started reading and said, but wait a minute, I thought he was supposed to be an incarnation of God. He said, you didn't want to hear a scholar, philosopher, this stuff. I was surprised. Businessman, Thai, English conservative businessman. I was very surprised. He was an incarnation of that time. Even now, no one knows, but that time especially, our movement is much less strong. So somehow or other, he'd seen some Prabhupada's books and he wanted to know, so he took Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the effect of these books, definitely, these books are changing the way people think. I have seen this in India, and I've said this before, it's such an amazing thing that nowadays, compared to previously, how people are accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 20 years ago, it's very difficult to find anyone who is not a complete, total Mayavadi in India. Even if they said we are bhaktas, complete Mayavadi. Nowadays, when we go and preach and we give lectures, and we can say straightforwardly, openly, that this Mayavad, it's all bogus, God is the Supreme Person. And of course, it's not surprising to find someone who will protest, but the atmosphere has changed. People are ready to accept it. People, especially younger people, say, yes, yes. When we tell that this idea that God has no form, no personality, this is all bogus, this is cheating, the actual fact is that God is the Supreme Person, we have to surrender to Him. Many people will accept it, which 20 years ago they were not. Why is that? Why? Must be because of Bhagavad Gita.